Right, 2 Thessalonians today. Start a brand new book to a same old church, same new church, I guess, Paul was writing to. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll cover verses 1 through 5, but this writing that he makes right here and now is one that comes about a year after he wrote the first letter. And rather interesting things that set up the situation that I think we are going to enjoy getting into. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul and Silas, or Silvanus, same guy, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all of your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Firestone Rubber Company, 1944, a woman working there by the name of Betty Wyatt was an inspector on the assembly line. They had converted the assembly line over from the production of tires and rubber products for Firestone into the military war efforts to help in the war effort. Specifically, her line of manufacturing that she was inspector of, she was Inspector 345, by the way, she was to inspect the product as it came down to the end. Her line had been converted into the production line of making life rafts for U.S. and European aviators, England and France and all, for their aircraft as well. And as she was doing this job, her son received his notice to report for duty, her young son. And so off he went, and he went through the process and was a rather bright boy, and he got good grades and got good marks, and they wound up moving him over to prepare for a flight school. They wanted to become an aviator, to actually become a fighter. And so he did that. And as he went off on his expeditions and on his sorties and these missions to fight, he was entangled in a tremendous battle in the South Pacific. And his aircraft was shot down. And later on, she heard a knock at the door, and there the news was given to her that her son, had been lost at sea. She went back to her work. She tried to do her job, and in that very week, she wound up quitting her job and shutting herself inside the home and weeping and grieved over the death of her son. She just became a shut-in. Some 3 months had gone by when there was a knock at the door. And she opened that door, and standing in that doorway was her son. According to her, back from the dead. And as he came on in, they sat there, and he began to share with her. And it was rather interesting because, you see, while she was working there at Firestone, she felt so bad because she didn't think that her efforts were accounting at all and helping out at all regarding the war effort. She was just in a factory, just in Ohio, just working for Firestone, just stamping little pieces of rubber as they went by to say this thing's okay to put in the water. And she was very frustrated. And now to have her son there, she was very, very blessed and very, very excited. And of course, no longer working for the company. He began to tell her what had happened. He said, "Mom, you know, I was involved in this tremendous battle. I got shot down, parachuted into the water, and deployed the emergency life raft that was supplied." And she said, "Well, yeah, you know, Firestone made those. We made those." And he said, "Yeah, well, let me tell you, as the time went on, I spent 4 weeks in that life raft. And I would eat anything I could, and it would rain. I would drink the water, and that life raft became my home." And he said, "I noticed the ship coming off the shore, just a little speck on the horizon. And just then, I was surrounded by sharks, and they began to go around the little life raft, and they began to knock it over. I thought they were going to knock me over at one point in time. Then they began to chew on this thing. They began to eat it up. And as that ship got closer, they saw what was going on. They threw a line into that water, and they hoisted me up. And, Mom, right when they were hoisted me up. Those sharks were consuming that raft. I had to draw my legs up underneath me as they were eating that raft. Those sharks ate that raft, and this is all I have left. Mom, God kept me alive, and He used a raft, and this is all that's left. And she looked at that piece of rubber that was obviously all scarred up and all from the encounter, and she's looking at it, and she was just so grateful and so happy to have her boy home, and she turns it over, and on the backside, it is stamped, inspected by 345. True story. Her efforts that she thought meant nothing wound up saving her own son's life in World War II. Paul had written a letter to the Thessalonian church, 1 Thessalonians, encouraging the believers to be ready for at any moment Jesus Christ could return in the rapture of the church, so you be ready. He instructed them on how to be as a church, how they ought to worship, how they ought to grow, how they ought to think, how they ought to be. If they're going to be representative of God, and in fact their lives being changed by God, what is it now that they are to live like and live for? And he gave them that instruction. But at the close of every chapter of the five chapters of 1 Thessalonians, he inserted in there something along these lines. You can look them up later. They should be in your notes. Be ready, because the Lord could come back any moment, and that's our hope. And now a year had gone by when Paul writes the second letter to them, the second correspondence to them. But things had changed. An imposter had come in and written a letter. And that letter was circulated among the believers, and this is what the letter said according to church history and according to Paul's response. The letter said, you had been waiting for the return of the Lord, that's true, but the fact of the matter is, you have to go through the great tribulation period first, and it has in fact begun. And so many of the believers began to think, well, wait a minute. Well, he told us, maybe we misunderstood him. And besides, listen, everyone carefully, besides, what we're seeing in our life now is so difficult. We're getting so much persecution, so much attack. There's so many people against us. It's so rough to be a believer. We must be in the tribulation period. And many in the Thessalonian church stopped going to their jobs. They actually began to sit around expecting at any moment we're going to be destroyed by the armies of the Antichrist. They quit working. So Paul will write later on in this book, if any man does not work, he's not going to eat either. Make sure you don't feed any Christian in the church who's not eating, working. If he's not working, he's not going to eat. He's a lazy bum, and he's using this as an example, especially after I wrote this letter. And the letter said, and this is what he's going to tell us in 2 Thessalonians, you didn't miss the rapture. The Antichrist is not here, and he's going to tell us how to identify him for those who are hanging around and give us some excellent encouragement about how we'll miss him. He's going to instruct them some more. He's going to warn them concerning church discipline, but he's also going to bolster their hope. Why? Because they had lost hope in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Christians, this morning, I'm just talking to the Christians. If you are not expecting the imminent return of Jesus Christ, called the rapture of the church, I don't understand how you can read your Bible and miss that, first of all. But let me ask you, what is your blessed hope? Titus 2:13 says, while we wait, earnestly, eagerly waiting for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you lose that as your focal point, by the way, John tells us that all of us who have this hope purifies ourselves. We purify ourselves in our walks daily because we have this hope. If you do not have that hope in your life, you're going to get a little lazy, you're going to get a little slack, you're going to let down your guard a little bit, and you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the joy and the service that the Lord has in store for you, for us as a body. So let's dive into this. And before you do, though, I guess you should set the theme of the book. This is the theme of the entire book. It is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. And Paul says there, do not be shaken. Don't be upset or seismos, earthquake. Don't have an earthquake in your mind or be troubled. That is of your emotion or spirit. Either by spirit, that is, don't believe any supposedly spiritual announcement, or a word or a letter, as if it has come from us, as though the day of Christ has come. That's the theme of this study for the remainder of this book. So we need to remember that. First thing I want you to notice and jot it down, verses 1 and 2, Paul encourages them in the Lord. That's our first point to our study this morning. He's going to encourage them in the Lord. Now watch this. Paul, he says in his letter, Silas or Silvanus and Timothy, all of us guys, you remember us? And they would say, yeah, we do. To the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to circle the word in God, in. It's the Greek word en, in. I-N for us, E-N for them, means the same thing. The church, it's not used very much in Scripture. Paul says, hey, you guys, by the way, it's Silas and Timothy and I. Hey, church in Thessalonia, you're in God. Now, people, why did he say this? Well, gosh, how else is he going to open up a letter? No, there's more to it than this. The church was very disheartened. They were very defeated because of the persecution that was coming against them. We'll see it in a moment about how intense it was. But let me ask you something right now. Are you going through tribulation, or have you, or will you? If you are not, or if you haven't, or if you don't plan on going through any, you can go to sleep. In fact, you can go home if you want to right now. You can just go home because it won't apply to you. This message will only apply to those who are either going to become believers or who are believers now, or for those of us who wish we weren't believers any longer, but in heaven no longer having to believe, but being there complete. And I don't know where you are in that, but listen, have you caught on that life is a little tough sometimes? It gets a little rough. It's a little difficult. If you've never had a trial and you're a Christian, are you sure? Am I sure what? That I've had a trial? No, are you sure you're a Christian? Because the Bible says, all those who live godly shall suffer persecution. That's a promise that you're not going to hang on much to these days. It's not that popular, but it's a fact. And you say, Jack, man, you're bumming me out. If you hang on for the message, it won't bum you out. If I were to tell you today that all of you who are going to get a months-long paid vacation in Maui will, first of all, come down with a slight fever and your right ear will turn green. You'll say, well, that's insane. I don't want to have a slight fever and I don't want to have a green ear, so I don't care how nice Hawaii sounds, I'm not going to be involved. And you know what? You're right. You will not be on the airplane. You will not be on the beach. You will not be there. But if you say, you know what? I can handle, I think, a mild fever and a green ear. I can go for that. For Maui, a month, I'll do it. You're going to get what's been prophesied, but you'll also get Maui in the whole banana, right? Some people, they accept Jesus Christ, and the moment a tribulation or trial comes into their life, Jesus talks about it in Matthew 13, they give up. Well, wait a minute. All the glory and eternal life and never getting sick and being absolutely perfect and seeing God face to face, seeing angels and having joy and peace, an incredible heaven forever? Yeah. But people are going to make fun of me as a Christian? Yep, I'll forget it. I'm not going to have people make fun of me. And they bow out. Jesus says when persecution and trial arises, they give up and go back into the world. And in a moment, we're going to see how Paul and Jesus speaks to new believers in a new church. Can you believe it? He's going to really let them have it. He's going to really let them up front know that if you're going to be a real Christian, it's not going to be easy. It's what God has ordained. But boy, has he done it for a reason. We'll see this. Paul is encouraging them. Listen, he points them to the place of their identity. You guys are in God. We are? Yeah. And not only that, you're the church in Thessalonica. Now, the Baptist church down the street probably thought, well, I thought we were the church, or the Methodist church down the street. Listen, it's the church of God in Thessalonica. The ones who are following Jesus Christ, not by name. It wasn't a Calvary Chapel there in Thessalonica. It wasn't a Catholic church. It wasn't the Methodist or the Baptist. It was the church. It was before all that silly stuff came around. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Church of God. And when you're down and pressures come against you in your life, like this church is under extreme persecution, people, they had lost hope. And Paul says, you're a church. You're in God. And that's how you lift somebody up. Have you noticed that? You see somebody walk down the hallway, do we even look anymore? I mean, you guys are the most loving group of people. And I've been other places to where people don't even look. But we're growing so much, so quick. Do you look at other people walking down the hallway? It's so easy in a crowd to just kind of look down. Or people's faces become just flesh-toned with no eyes and nose. That's not good. And somebody says, how you doing? Oh, I'm all right. When somebody says, all right, that means you're supposed to stop your heels from moving any further. And you say to them, you know, well, how's it going? Can I pray for you? What is your name anyway? John. John, can I pray for you? I mean, chances are, if they're in this building, chances are, it could be like 90% that they're a Christian already. Ask them, can I pray for you? What if he's not a Christian? Ask him if you can pray for him. Well, Jack, you're asking me to pray for anybody I bump into and ask them if they say, oh, I'm doing okay. Yeah, that's right. Do it. Dad, pray with them. Get them. Sick them. Get all over them. Because you know what? When you're down and somebody says, you know what? Let's pray together. Or, you know what? I know we haven't met or we have met or whatever the situation is, but you know, you're kind of a blessing to me. I just thought I'd let you know that. I am? Yeah. Wow. Maybe that's all they need to hear. You're in God. I am. Yeah, you're in the church. Really? Sometimes you need to hear it. It's encouraging. Paul knows exactly what he's doing. He's building them up, and it's not fake. Oh, you're so nice. Oh, Jack, you're just so sweet. As soon as somebody says that, I'm just, oh. And, you know, my mind is, they don't even know who I am. I just bit my dog on the way to church this morning. But when somebody says, you know what? That blessed me. God used you in my life. Thanks. Golly gee. I needed to hear that. Paul is lifting them up. He's encouraging them in the Lord. He does a beautiful job of it, and Paul's very good at it. And by the way, for a year they had a godly reputation, and that too can keep you out of trouble. People began to expect certain things out of this church. And sometimes when the chips are down, you'll follow Jesus Christ for his name's sake. You ever done that? You feel like quitting and giving up and absolutely throwing in the chips, but you know what? You have the name of God attached to your life. Oh man, I've had it with this thing. I'm going to go out there and just drop some acid and rob a bank and settle my financial woes and do heroin and have an affair. I mean, I got confirmation. McDonald's says I deserve a break today. No. You can feel like that. But there's a time sometimes when you're so down, it's like, you know what, and you know what happens? You get that thing and you're driving down the street and you're going down, you pull into the, you know, you're going to go into like a binge at Home Depot. You got your card out there. That's it, I'm going to backslide to the maximum. I'm going to the nursery section. And after there, I'm going to the wall cover. And somebody says, hi, Jack, I go to Calvary. And it's like, oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's like, God, you're everywhere I go. You have people go. And, I mean, yesterday I was driving somewhere, and behind me, I could see these people, they're moving, their heads are moving like this, and I'm looking through my window. And they kind of look like those dogs that go like this. So I'm looking closer and looking closer and identify they go to the church here. And then the car behind them, they go to the church here. And we got the little sticker on the back of the window. It says, Jesus said, come after me. And this guy pulls up alongside and says, I saw the sticker on the back of the window and I knew that you were one of us. And I just thought, that's cool. But God's got a sticker on us. Ephesians 1, chapter 1 tells us that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're going to go meander off somewhere? It's been too rough. I just got fired. I'm not feeling good on top of it. Got home. And the kids don't respect me. Nothing seems to be going anymore. Have you thought for a moment, if you're a Christian and that's going on in your life, have you thought for a moment that maybe you're in a trial? A trial? Yeah, your Bible talks a lot about them. Well, I thought it was like time to, like, you know, quit. Oh, no. In fact, the Bible says, for those of us who do not have trials, we're not God's child. For those of us who do have trials, it's proof positive we are His. Well, Jack, my boss got fired, and then I got fired, and he's not a Christian, I am, but you know, he got fired too. Yeah, you know what? You can tell them good luck. That's all they have. Hey, boss, you got axed. Good luck. Not for you. You're a Christian. God is working in your life, and it may have to go all the way to corporate back in Evanston, Illinois, to get you fired because God is working something out in your life. And listen, are you ready for this? It is for your good. And you go, man, I heard that. I think I heard that when I was like 6 years old. Son, this is for your own good. That's not how God is. He's not like that. God says, you know, I got a really great thing going on. I'm going to get you over here to this place, but you're such a stinker, you're not going to listen to me, and you're going to hang on to this deal. And I got to, like, shut down the company to get you to move. And He'll do it because of you. And in the midst of caving in, at least that's how you feel, He is exposing His love to you the most that you and I just don't recognize it. We're missing it. And Paul is telling this to this beautiful young church who had been derailed and had lost their hope in the midst of great persecution. In Romans 8:31, you know this verse. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The suggestion is nobody, here it is, nobody can win. The correct answer to that statement, if God is for us, who can be against us, is God is for us, who can win over us? Because, come on, let's read the verse carefully. Who can be against us? I can pick 100 people who's against me right now. Just stick around. Is anybody against you? No. Just live a life a little longer. There'll be you can find people who are against you. The thing is, God is not against you. He's for you. If God be for us, who cares who's against us? That's what Paul wants them to know. He promises them, prays for them, tells them about grace and peace to their blessing. Listen to this. He says in verse 3, we are bound. I like this word bound. You ought to circle it. Great, great word. The word means to put under the obligation or to become totally committed to a debt. That is, listen, accruing. Any bankers in here? Any investors? Listen. The debt is accruing not day by day, but moment by moment. That's what the word means. Paul says, listen, we are bound to thank God always for you. That is the church at Thessalonica. I mean, every moment as time goes on, we're hearing more and more about you guys. And we're thanking God more and more, brethren, he says, as it is fitting. That means it's right. I mean, we can't, if we're going to be honest, you guys are being so blessed of the Lord, even in the midst of your persecution, and so many people know about you as a church, that moment by moment, we're having to give God thanks. For you. Was Paul lying or was he telling the truth? That's amazing. And it's right that we do this. Look, why? Why is it right? And here you go, people. This is where the rubber meets the road for us. You want to quit? Listen to this. Because your faith grows exceedingly. That's the next thing I want you to see in our study. The second point to this is that their faith grows. Verse 3. People, in persecution, hardships, trials, rough times, your faith will grow. Some of you might be here today because things are going crazy in your life. You wouldn't have been here if you would have won the lotto a couple, last month? Went to the Harvest Crusade. Did you see that lotto up there pulling into the stadium? See that lotto thing on the wall or on that billboard? $34 million, and some guy won that thing. You need to pray for that guy. 74% of lotto winners wind up divorced, alcohol, or on drugs. 74%. You see that thing? That guy wins the lotto. Can you imagine witnessing to that guy the moment he gets that check? You need Christ. Are you kidding, pal? I can buy Christ. I got $34 million. That'd be gone in a minute, pal. I can create my own world. Yeah, good luck. Man, when people have what they think their needs met, they don't need Christ. They don't need Him. Can't grow like that. Works through their destruction, actually. Winds up coming against them. Not so with Jesus. The faith grows when we have a great need. You may be here today because of that reason. You have a need. Christians, this is for all of us believers. Have you ever prayed, Lord, I just need more faith? That sounds pretty innocent, doesn't it? Lord, I wish my faith was stronger. Watch out. God will take that prayer. And you know how faith grows? Catch it. Write it down. There's no other way around it. There's no page two to this. There's no clause. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Okay? What happens when you hear the word of God? It goes in your ears. Bounces around your head for a while. You think about it. How can this be? Or I like this. Or wow, I needed that. Or that convicts me. And then it settles in your mind, and you can even quote it to somebody. I need more faith. Hey, buddy, I'll tell you what I just learned. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. And they'll think you're spiritual. They'll think you're something. God knows better. Father knows best, and he sends a trial. He engineers it just right. And he brings it into your life, and it's not for your destruction. It's for your benefit. And this is where some of us right now, our faith just goes, beep. I can't believe this any longer. And you're going to have a rough time. Because God, who loves you so much, creates a situation, and he brings it into your life to take what's bouncing around in your head that you can regurgitate and quote to other people, and he puts it down here 18 inches into your chest, in your heart. And there's only one way to do it. Read your Bible. It's through hardship. And you say, man, I want to hear that. Well, none of us want to hear it. But here's the funny thing about it. It doesn't matter if you want to hear it or not. You're in it. You have hardship. It may not be mine. Mine may not be yours. But God is working in our lives to take the word out of our head and put it into our heart so that we can live it. I had a lady last service come up in tears. And she said, I've been to church all my life. I started coming here a year ago, and I've had so many trials, and tomorrow I have a big one. I'm not scared. She's got tears in her eyes, and then she's going to tell me why she has tears in her eyes. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. I've got peace. I'm so happy. I can't explain it. I've got joy, and I've got tears in my eyes out of gratitude to God, for the Word of God is working in my life. How does she know? Because the cruise ship pulled up? She's got a raise. She's in the middle of a hardship, and the word of God she found out is true. It's really supernatural. It's not just black and white on a page. It really changes your life. And she is absolutely exuberant over the fact. And that's what Paul wants in the life of this church. That's what God wants in our hearts. And you and I pray, oh God, how about this one? Give me patience. I need to be more patient. Now, the word patient, we've missed it. Queen's English. The actual English is, you know, we don't speak English in America anymore. You notice, you know that. We speak American. You say, I don't understand you. Just take an English test and see if you can pass it. The reason why you have a hard time with your English test is because we speak American. We don't do good on English. The word patience in English is the word perseverance. A continual hanging in there and going on. Continuing on. Patience, we think, this guy, I placed my order 90 seconds ago in that stupid little box, and I don't even have it yet. I can't believe this. Oh, God, I need patience. No, the word is patient means perseverance. The guy sticks his head out of the window and says, it'll be 4 days, 5, 6 days. You turn your car off, you just... That's perseverance, man. God wants us to have perseverance, and the only way that happens is by finding out that he's faithful in the midst of trial and tribulation, and we continue on under the load. And we'll talk about this load here in a moment. He says, because of your faith, it grows exceedingly. That's the only way faith can grow, is when it's planted in a bed of tribulation and trial and testing of life. And not only that, of love for every one of you all. You guys just love each other. He goes, your faith is growing in the midst of persecution. Your love is growing in the midst of tribulation. And isn't that something? That's how it is. You guys know that it's true. People who don't have tribulation and trial in their life, you know what we wind up doing? We wind up getting self-centered. I want more. Give me mine. Just like Daffy Duck and that little pearl on the beach running around. Mine, all mine, get away, mine. It's all mine. His life, it's just him. And then this thing explodes, and all of a sudden he's nice to Elmer or to Bugs because he needs them. We get a hardship in our life, and all of a sudden, wow, is this how people, maybe other people are like this? And you start hearing about people who have it worse than you do all of a sudden, and we're a little bit more gentle towards other people. There's grace in our lives now, and it never would have been there without a trial that you're going through now. And you're going through it now because God loves you. And you've been thinking this week that it's because God doesn't love you. You've been listening to the propaganda of the enemy. It's very important. You guys love each other. Man, she's down. Come on, let's go take care of her. They're just falling over each other to love each other as a church. And he says, you know, Paul's saying, he would say today in our tongue, you know, I'm really grateful that all the hardship that you guys have gone through, I know it's been rough, but you know what? We never would have seen such love if it wasn't been for your hardship. People who have it easy are so shallow. I feel sorry for them. They can't talk about anything else but what's on sale at Nordstrom's, or did you see my new floral arrangement? It's like, well, that's cool. It's all going to burn, but that's nice. I mean, it looks fine, but, you know, we all get caught up into that thing. But it's a shallowness. But man, somebody goes through something and there's a beautiful depth about them. It builds a character. We've all been watching the Olympics. You know what? I'm just amazed, always amazed when we see the Chinese athletes. They're so disciplined. They complain about nothing. And you see the Russian athletes, they complain about nothing. And you see the athletes from the third world countries, they don't complain about anything. They're so tickled pink to be there. They got to go on an airplane ride. They're so happy. They say thank you for everything. Thank you. They're just thank you. They're so grateful. It's beautiful. It's the kind of people you want to bless. I got a feeling that's the kind of heart these people had, and Paul was having a good time blessing them. He was a great example to them. Listen to this. Don't get discouraged over these things. Persecution produces true faith in our lives, knocks out all the fake stuff. What do you think Paul's first words were, or encouraging words to a brand new church? Brand new church. Maybe he said, I tell you what, you guys, you need to get a dove on your wall. That's what you ought to do. Get some palm trees, you know, get them from Joe's Cretan palm and plant down here at the corner. No. You guys need to get more air conditioning in here. That's what you need. No. Paul, his encouraging words to a brand new church was in Acts chapter 14. It says that he strengthened the souls of the brethren, encouraging them by telling them that it's through great hardships and through much tribulation they enter the kingdom of God. Can you imagine? In a moment, we're going to ask all of you to come up and come forward, and the buses are going to wait. You come on forward and receive hardship and tribulation, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Well, who's going to come up? I don't know. Gee, I don't know. What's he doing? What's Paul doing? Come on, Paul, you got to get him up. How are you going to build a church telling them that? They counted the cost, and they thought heaven was worth it. Can you imagine? I say this, I think, every week because I want to go so bad. We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. I know it's hot in here. Oh, it's so hot. Nobody hates the heat more than I do. I hate it. But this is as hot as it gets for us. It's as hot as it gets. We're going to heaven. And Paul said, you know, it's going to be tough. You guys made a commitment. This is great. It's going to be tough. And you know what? I love that. By the way, Jesus said the same thing to a brand new church in John 15. He says, oh, by the way, they've hated my guts in the world. Oh, yeah, Jesus, we've noticed that. They, like, try to kill you every time you walk around a corner. Yeah, well, you know what? They're going to hate your guts, too, because you're not of the world anymore. You've aligned yourself with me, pal, so you better start learning how to duck. That's what he told them in John 15. And he said it again in John 17 in his high priestly prayer. And we want to add Jesus Christ to our BMW logo and to our health club membership and to our whatever we've got going on, and Jesus won't do that. He says, you bring all that stuff to me, batten down the hatches, because this is real. And some of you right now this morning are saying, man, I was kind of thinking about being a Christian. I don't want anything to do with it now. And some of you are saying, you know, I'm a Christian. This is exactly what I need to hear, because I thought I was wigging out. And I need this peace, man. I didn't need to hear this. Well, you know, Peter told us, you just hang in there. Because your faith, if you're for real, will be tested and it will come through like gold. But he says, your faith is even more precious than gold. And you want to know something? You want to know what the feeling is? You want to know what the feeling is when God is really working a trial in your life? I hope this kind of grabs you like it grabbed me. He says in verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God. I mean, we're telling everybody about what's going on with you guys. You guys are awesome. That's exactly what they needed to hear. For your patience, that's the word perseverance, and faith, that's the word faithfulness at something. Faithfulness at something. You've hung in there. He's building them up. You see this? Now watch. In all your, is it persecution or is it plural? Persecutions. It ain't going away. Persecutions. This word persecutions, listen, it's a word that means attacks from the outside. Outside attacks coming in. Wham, wham, wham on you. Look at the word tribulations. And tribulations that you endure. The word tribulations comes from the outward attacks of persecutions. But it is the very tribulation. Listen, the attack comes from the persecution comes against you. You're hearing it. Oh, no. Oh, this is terrible. Then it goes from your ear into your heart, your chest. That's what the word means, tribulations. Pressures placed upon you. And it's in relation to your chest cavity. It really is. Now listen to this. This is kind of fun. This helped me. It really helped me. The word is thipsis. In Greek, tribulations, thipsis. Aren't you impressed? That's the real, that's how you say it. I speak Greek. Thipsis. Well, you know what it means? It's a tool. Thipsis was a tool. If somebody was accused of a wrong and he wouldn't confess, they would lay him down on the ground with his face up, on his back, put him on his back. They would turn his face to the side and they would put a board on top of him. Well, that doesn't sound so bad. Until some Roman soldiers came over with this gigantic block and had a hole in the middle, and they put a stake through it. They'd pick up the block, step over you, and gently set the block down on top of the board. That was called a thipsis. That's what they did to you. It was a tool to get you to confess your wrong or your situation. And what happened is you would eventually suffocate. You had a certain amount of minutes, or you would die. So they would place it on you, and then the attorneys would gather around, and they'd get their little tape recorder out there. Okay, you got anything to say? And if you had wrong in your heart, you would confess it, and they'd lift it up, and then you'd go for the remainder of your trial. Problem was, what if you had anything to confess? Interesting. Jesus Christ was bound and beaten, and Pilate was trying to get him to confess so that he could let him go. The only problem is Jesus never opened his mouth because he had nothing to confess. And here's the beautiful thing. I'm only talking to the Christian this morning. Trials are personally engineered by God. Temptation comes from Satan. Trials come from God. Persecution comes from God. Satan may be used, but it comes from God. God knows. It's Father filtered. So the enemy, who's gotten clearance, comes up and lays you flat on your back. Maybe it's through sickness. Maybe it's through emotions. Maybe it's through spirit. Maybe it's through fear, anger. Whatever it is, doesn't matter to him. He needs to get you on your back. Then he gets his little goobers to come over and put the big weight on your chest. Now you feel like you're crushed. Have you ever, listen, I think this is fantastic. Maybe it's just me, because it happens to me. You ever feel like you can't breathe sometimes? I mean, you like forget to breathe sometimes. You're so stressed out about things and about this and about that, and oh my gosh, and you forget to breathe sometimes, and your jaw's tense, and you have a hard time sleeping. And you wake up, sometimes you don't even know why. Spiritual attack, persecution. And the enemy is trying to get us as Christians to confess. Confess what? All we have to do in persecution and trials and testings is say, I've had enough of this. God's left me. He's abandoned me. Remember Job? God engineered a trial for Job. Do you read Job in the morning for inspiration? You know, I really want to have a good day today. I think I'm going to turn to the book of Job. I don't think we do it. Psalms, maybe? Gospels? Great. When you feel like Job. What did Job do? He was doing great. He's hanging in there. I was born naked. I'm going to die naked. He's hanging in there. And his buddies come and they just chew on him. And you know, it had to be a Monday morning when his wife walked in. And she looked at him and she said, why don't you curse God and die? Well, thank you, babe. I was really, you know, that's exactly what I needed there. He didn't do it. It says, yet in all these things, Job did not sin against the Lord. He praises the Lord, actually. Winds up getting victory. And the Bible says it was God's intention to bless him bigger in the end than he did in the beginning. And Job wound up being super blessed. And if you would have asked Job after the test, would you have done it again? He'd say, yes, sir. Because this weight of glory far exceeds these little momentary things that we go through. And so this block is laid on top of our lives, and you might be going through it right now, and you feel like absolutely quitting and running away. And the enemy's trying to get you to make a confession. God's left me. I feel so lonely. God's abandoned me. How can he be here? I feel so horrible. My chest is caving in. I haven't felt, you know, the warmth of the Spirit. I feel like I'm in a desert. And God is right with you right now, like never before he's right with you. And the enemy is pushing and pushing and poking. And you know how it is. Come on. Say something. Come on. Confess that God's abandoned you. Wimp out on your faith, man. Come on. And you don't do it. You just silently, you're there. You have nothing to confess. I will not sin against the Lord. Though he slay me, yet shall I trust in him. A lady this week given a decree. You've got cancer. Big time. Her family's all concerned. We all are concerned. You know what her response is? She was real upset about going to the doctor. Then when the doctor told her the news, she said, everybody straighten up here. God's my God. He's faithful and I'm his kid. I've been his kid for years. He's going to see me through, even if it's through the gates into heaven. What are you guys crying about? Where do you get that kind of strength? From the Word of God coming 18 inches down from the head into the heart by trial and tribulation. There's no other way. There's no other way. And so the enemy's trying to get you to rag on God. And when you're quiet and you hang in there by the grace of God, you wind up blessing him so much. He gets all the glory. And you get, listen, all the peace and hope and faithfulness because God has seen you through to the end. And you make it. And it's good news. And so he says, verse 5, we're done here. All these things, he says, the persecutions and tribulations, well, they're a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Not against us, people, but against those who are watching. That's what it means. You've made it through the trial. The people who don't believe in your God, they're heaping judgment on their own head. They saw you come through and God brought you through, and they're rejecting the same offer that God wants to bless them with. And judgment will come to them. He says, but you, look, you've been counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. I could deliver this message in some Eastern European country and people would just right now be crying and just, yes, 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 yes. You know why? Because they're just like the Thessalonian church. But we might have it too easy. You can close your Bible, we're all done. I think about this often. I cry about it probably more. We've seen Russian Christians in 3 years grow so deep, so fast. Special grace given to them. And I'm always asking God, why? Why are they doing so well so quick? What's going on? What do you got planned? Could it be, I hope I'm wrong, could it be that God has put the Word of God in their hearts so much and given such a hunger for it that persecution and trial and tribulation is coming to that land again? Could it be that a couple weeks ago when the general issued the decree that the only religions allowed in Russia from now on will be Islam, Buddhism, and the Orthodox Church? That puts the Baptists, the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Catholics, the Calvary Chapels out? Why? Why are they growing so strong, so quick? What about the church in China? So strong. Arrested for your faith, imprisoned. If you're native Chinese, you're a Christian, you're arrested, you go to prison. Federal offense, capital offense. God help us. It's easy to be a Christian today. Here. But people, those of us who are going through it, man, we have hope. We're truly His kids. Father, in Jesus' name, we rejoice in hope, full of glory, because of what You've told us. You've told us in advance to be watching out. Lord, if there's a doubter in the group today, let that be confidence to their heart. That Jesus, You told us in advance that these things would come. That this stuff would come down upon our chest. And God, I want to thank You. If no one else will or could or can, I do now. I want to thank You for the hardships that come in, out of my life. You've told me about them in advance, and so when they come, half the sting is already taken out of it because You've already told me. You've told us. And Lord, if You've told us, Your Word also says that we will not be able to be pressured beyond that which we were able to take. And so that's hope. Lord, at the end, when it's all over, it builds depth of character and it strengthens our faith. And without faith, Lord, we can't see You and we can't be at peace. Father, we thank You for Your love. And God, I pray this morning, if no one knows the incredible blessing it is to go through this life with Your security and Your strength, Jesus, that they'd go to the prayer room today and learn how to know You by simply giving their life over to You today, like many of us have. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.